finding the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Give it to me straight.
There's a place to find all the answers.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this Thursday, the 15th of February, 2005. And after we roll these calls, Reverend, I'm going to actually put my producer on the air also because, well, I did a little test with him, unbeknownst to him, a few minutes ago. And I got a cafe panini right next door to us here at Republic Broadcasting Network, a brand new sandwich shop that opened up. And I got a ham and cheese panini. And I only ate half the sandwich. I was going on air. And I asked him, I said, do you want a half a sandwich? He goes, what is it? And I said, it's ham and cheese. He said, I do not eat pork. So that was a little test to see. You know, a lot of people claim to be Jewish and don't follow the law, but that was a little test there. So he passed that with flying colors. At any rate, we'll allow him to come up on air for a few minutes and express his opinions about this subject. But first, let's go to Phil in Florida with Reverend Ted Pike, and our topic of conversation here, I guess, is the hate crime laws and also who's behind it. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I've got a couple of different comments, John. The reason...
Can you turn your radio down, sir?
Oh, hell, I forgot about it. Excuse my French, too.
Well, you're in the presence of a reverend. Apologize to him and God, not me.
Let's see here. First thing I wanted to say is that I believe the reason that Ted doesn't get any response or any aid from the big televangelists is because they're practically all 33rd degree Masons, which precludes them from being Christians.
Or they have 501c3s, and
all have that, of course.
Yeah.
But they're 33rd degree Masons on top of it, and if you want any further proof of it, just talk to your buddy there in Austin, Tex Mars.
Right.
He put out a heck of a disc on that. All right, and second thing is, you got two different types of Jews, to my knowledge, in this country. One of them are those that simply reject Jesus, and the other are the Zionists who not only reject him, they hate him, and they hate everything Christian, including the Christian people, our race, our white race. They hate us with the purple passion, and Ted's exposed that in his books. I mean, in his tapes, showing it in their encyclopedia, Jewish encyclopedias, etc. They hate our race. They intend to kill us off. That's the Zionists. The Jews, like you're talking about, the good ones there that say they've had it so good in this country, which they have, they simply reject Jesus. They don't believe in him. They reject him. But they're not trying to kill the rest of us off or kill off Christianity,
That's right. That's right.
You have the Zionists, though, and they're working hand in glove with people like the Bushes and the Clintons and
Congress.
all the politicians that have been famous for the last 50 or 100 years, they're working hand in glove with them to kill off this country and presumably the race. I don't know.
Phil, hold on a second. I'll get the Reverend's response after this break. 800-313-9443. We've got a couple lines open. Ladies and gentlemen, we're exercising free speech today. We're talking about the defeat of the hate crime bill that they're trying to shove down the American people's throats. We'll be right back.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back with my guest today, and very thankful to have this gentleman out there. Ted, is there anybody else out there? And hang on, Phil. We'll get the response from the Reverend here to your statements.
Yeah,
but is
I'm
there?
Hanging.
Okay. Is there anybody else, to your knowledge, Reverend, that is picking up the gauntlet and charging forth with this, being the watchman on the wall, to your knowledge?
Yeah, there are thousands of them. Thousands of listeners on talk radio.
No, I'm not talking about listeners. I'm talking about people who will come on and be interviewed on air.
Oh, well, unfortunately, I don't have much competition. No, The hate crimes issue is a very evasive issue. It's cloaked in secrecy and deception and legalese language, and it takes a specialist basically who spent years trying to untangle it and pre-digest it for the public in order to deliver this to be understood by the common man. And I don't quite know why that is. It's especially evil. It's especially antichrist. I believe it's a spiritual battle that people have to gird themselves to get in. It's more than just a legislative battle, because we're dealing with the synagogue of Satan, tremendously evil antichrist forces through this legislation, which want to use it as the kind of the coup de grace to end freedom and this American republic.
Now, Phil, in Florida, your bullet points to the Reverend?
Well, There's at least two kinds of Jews. One, the Jews like you talked about in Seattle and so forth, the good ones that only reject Jesus. Then you have the ones that are pushing this muzzle on us that Ted talks about, and that's the dang Zionists.
Yeah, you know,
they not only hate Christ, they hate everybody.
Sure,
that isn't of their own ilk.
Right, Phil, let them respond.
Surely,
and you see this kind of dichotomy within Judaism has really existed for a long time. As I say, there have been the Jewish people, even rejecting Christ, who have been content to live among the nations and be shopkeepers, merchants, etc. But there's always been this activist element within Judaism that wants to overthrow Gentile dominion, and that certainly was the case in 70 AD when the fanatical Jews attempted to overthrow Roman rule in Palestine. They were crushed then, and then about 232 AD, well, actually it started in about 219 AD, a false messiah by the name of Bar Kochba arose, and the rabbis all embraced him and proclaimed him the messiah, and he again took on the Roman Empire and was mercilessly crushed, and all the Jews were entirely expelled from Palestine. And then around 1666, another Jewish false messiah by the name of Shabbatai Zevi down in Turkey proclaimed himself the messiah, and again he was put down. But there are these recurrent attempts through this ambitious, politically active element within Judaism to not be not have to be content to just dwell among the Gentiles and let the Gentiles perpetually rule over them or have dominion over the earth, but rather they believe that their Talmud and Kabbalah sanction radical, deceptive, political actions on a monumental scale, such as the creation of communism and liberalism and the radical agenda of ADL and B'nai B'rith to cause darkness to come on the Gentiles. Now, the Talmud is very specific in Treatise Sanhedrin. I believe it's 99a in Sanhedrin that a great period of suffering is going to be necessary before the Gentiles are expelled from their place of rulership over the Jews. And in fact, it says in Sanhedrin that this period of suffering that will be visited upon the Gentiles will be so great that even the Almighty will bewail it, because it is so devastating to the Gentiles. But the Talmud teaches that this is necessary. And the Kabbalah or the Zohar teaches that the Jewish people are the active instrument of divine intention in this world. And so if a great period of suffering is coming on the world before the Messiah comes, that the Talmudic teaching is that the Jews must be the agents or the instruments of bringing that to the world. And this kind of doctrine is believed emphatically by people like Abe Foxman, head of the ADL, who is a very devoutly religious and orthodox Jew, Talmudic, Zohar-believing Jew. And yet what he does is he says it's necessary in order to bring Hebrew monotheism to the whole world, it's necessary to absolutely break down Christian capitalist institutions in the world. Of course, that is the whole purpose behind Marxism and communism and an insane economic philosophy used to break down capitalism and the strength of capitalism and Western, the laissez-faire, a capitalistic system. Also, the anti-Christianity within Marxism and the theory of evolution and all of these things are promoted by this Jewish media to trash Christian civilization. What we're seeing now in this polarization between this tiny minority of Natura Carta versus the Zionists is we're seeing a continuation of this same pattern over the last 2,000 years, in which you have some Jews which say, no, we're supposed to be content among the Gentiles and seek their peace, whereas other activist Jews say, no, we need to break down and overthrow Gentile power, Gentile and Christian power in this world.
Well, they've done a very good job of it.
Phil, I'm going to ask you to be brief because we have many callers here.
Yes, I know. Ted, what's the name of the rabbi that said when he was asked what is communism, he said it was Judaism?
That was the Rabbi Stephen Wise.
Stephen Wise?
Yes, he was an advisor of FDR and a prominent Jewish left-wing rabbi back in the 30s and 40s.
Right, I remember. I just couldn't remember his doggone name. I've used his quote a few times on emails, but I couldn't remember his name. Now, as far as this...
Phil, again, I'm going to ask you to be brief. Phil, come on. I've got callers waiting, sir.
Okay, well, I've had my major say. Go ahead and get to them.
Okay, well,
thank you.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. I don't like to necessarily do that because he had some very good points and questions to ask, but for the sake of time here, Jim in Texas. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have only a slight problem with what you've been discussing so far, and I'm not an expert on religion by any stretch of the imagination, but I find it hard to believe that anybody in their right mind could use the phrase Judeo-Christianity, because any group of Jews that follows the Talmud in any way, shape, or form, it's a polar opposite of Christianity. You can't have both.
That's right, and I don't think I've been using the phrase Judeo-Christian in any of my writings.
And
I know you don't, but the point I'm trying to make is that you hear it every day on the TV. Practically every other word out there. They won't mention Christianity without throwing Judeo in front of it.
Right.
Yeah. That's like saying the guy is a Jeffersonian communist. It can't be both.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, that's one of the major things. And as far as Reverend Falwell in his jet that was donated by the State of Israel, and Pat Robertson and all the other ones that were given their own TV network, how do you think these people are going to come down when they're informed by their benefactors? This is your position on this issue.
Yes, they're deeply compromised.
They're so deeply compromised that you're not going to get any help from them. They receive their marching orders just like the communists receive their marching orders. It comes top down, and whatever their orders are, that's what they're going to do.
Well, and it's only and let me interject this, Ted. It is only going to be from the people that are attending these churches that they pull these pastors aside, and I call them the Pharisees at the pulpit. Have you had your pharmaceutical prescription filled this Sunday? And the only way that this is going to change in the churches of America is if the body of the church itself either corrects that pastor or they replace that pastor.
Yes, absolutely.
That is the only way this is going to happen.
Well, the truth is that, you know, most Christian leaders are basically led by their donors. The donors provide the money. The money dictates the agenda that comes from the pulpit. And if enough people in the congregations begin to say no to this unconditional support, military and moral support of Israel, then I believe it could go a long way to drying it up. You know, back to your original question, Jim, I lost my thought right there.
Jim,
it was a Talmudic Jews that follow the Talmud in any way, shape, or form. Cannot be in any way construed to have anything to do with Christianity.
Yes. Now, the truth of the matter is, of course, that the old Hebrew religion, as taught by the great and true Hebrew prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and so on, that is the basis of our ethics and of our legal system and our whole philosophy of the Western Christian world. And we do owe a great deal of a debt to God's work through the Hebrew and Jewish people of antiquity in biblical and Old Testament times, including into the New Testament, Paul and the apostles and so on, who are all descendants of the tribe of Judah, Jewish people. But the fact of the matter is that an entirely separate rabbinic tradition, that's the tradition of the rabbis, or the tradition of the Pharisees, which is called rabbinic or modern Judaism, emerged. Now, what the confusion today is that Falwell and all of these people are thanking these rabbis for helping create our Judaic Christian tradition in America, and that is absolutely false. They've had no influence on us for good.
Well, as far as I can see, the only influence they had was the somewhat in the Old Testament. Once the Talmud came along, or actually before that, when
Jim, hang on a second.
Sure.
Folks, callers, when you hear the bumper music, That generally means we got about 30 seconds before we got to go to break, so we'll do that. Jim, Alan, Melissa, Judy, Henry, and others will get to all of your calls right after this.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs. All right, we are back. Before I go any further here, my wife sometimes has sleepless nights, and especially of late. And this falls in line. Reverend, this network has been attacked. We have had people that have tried to strip the assets and the talk show host and the advertisers out of this network. And for that reason, my wife has had a lot of sleepless nights lately. And when she is restless, she prays, she reads the Bible. And this morning, she wrote this prayer down, and I think this falls right in line. She wrote that man has free will. God will not change the will of men. Those who have evil in their hearts will choose to do evil. Great is the battle, but greater is in me. I give it to you, my Lord Jesus Christ, my free will. You will work wonderful things in me, and I will hear your word. And I will wear the armor of God today and always. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes, wonderful.
That's my wife.
Yes.
She's a wonderful person.
Yes. Well, you know, I was just mentioning earlier that it's extremely easy to penetrate into these evangelical organizations, because when you say the magic word, well, I've been born again, you know, I'm a Christian, then everybody embraces you and you're part of the club. The truth of the matter is that Jesus laid down some pretty stiff requirements for getting into the kingdom of heaven. He defined being born again or converted as turning, doing a 180 and turning completely around, going in exactly the opposite way you were going before, and forsaking your life, absolutely giving your whole life over to God, as is revealed in your wife's statement there. That's what it really means to be born again, in which you are willing to follow him, you're willing to lose your life, you're willing to hate your own life, in fact, for the furtherance of the gospel and of truth. And that's so refreshing to hear that statement from your wife, because that's what we really need, along with this political awareness, along with this social activism and all of the phoning and agitation going into Congress about the hate bill. We have to have a turning of hearts and a humbling of hearts, like Mrs. Stadmiller is revealing there today, at the grassroots level. And if we have that, let me tell you, God Almighty is not going to allow the forces of evil to prevail in this country as long as we have enough people crying out to him and putting their trust in him.
And if for no other reason, whatever your religious persuasion is, whether you're agnostic, you're an atheist, and I've always considered agnostics not to have the courage of their own convictions, but even if you're an atheist, even if you are whatever, if your religion is worshiping Coke cans down on Main Street at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't care. It is those that move against those that they know are trying to do good. And Reverend, I never understood this paranoia that, you know, that this is a Christian nation and it should follow biblical law. What do these people think, that a bunch of people are going to show up with Bibles in their hands, bust in their door and beat them to death if they don't convert to Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what is the fear? I got news for you out there, folks. I got news for you. You are going to be judged. You're going to be judged when you pass from this house into his. The book of life will be opened. No intercessors, no lawyers, none of your fast Texas two-step is going to save you from the pains of hell. It is what you do in this life that you are judged on.
Amen.
I mean, that's the bottom line. I have seen so much evil in the last 4 weeks that I am absolutely, positively astounded that people that claim that they want to save this great republic yet will try to destroy this network that you're listening to right now. I find this absolutely incredible. Incredible. Jim, anything else?
Yeah, I have one more question for Reverend Pike, and I hope he knows the answer, because I read in several different forums that the Talmud teaches and the rabbinical school of the Jewish faith teaches that rabbis are considered on the same plane with God himself. And
oh,
that on occasion God asks the rabbis for advice. Is there any truth to that statement?
Well, the truth of the Talmud is that the Talmud teaches that a great rabbi of the Talmud, a Talmud like Rabbi Akiba or Yohanan ben Zakkai or
wasn't there one named Schneezer recently, a Rabbi Schneezer,
well,
some claim to be the Messiah?
Oh, well, what it basically teaches is that a great rabbi started learning about the Talmud and the truth within the Talmud when he, in his pre-existence, when he was in heaven before he was born. And in fact, there's a legend in the Talmud about Rabbi Akiba being seen in a vision in heaven before he was born, marvelously expounding on the Talmud before he even came into this world. And so the Talmud teaches that when the great Sanhedrin, the 70 elders of the Jews, are reconstituted and they give their opinions, they say even if black is white and right is wrong, God will defer to their opinions. And so you see the Pharisees have taken over. They have made the law of God of none effect, like Jesus said, and they have taken authority not only over Moses but over God.
So it amounts to self-worship, more or less, if you break it down.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Jim, thank you very much for your call, sir. We'll continue to roll your calls. Alan, Melissa, Judy, Henry, and others. We'll get to all of your calls, I promise you. Stay tuned. Stay online. We'll be right back after this break for the network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting
Network. Broadcasting. Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays. Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
I was just informed during the break, and Reverend, this is aside from what we're talking about right here. The damage that has been done to this network in the last 4 weeks, our insurance company is sending over a CPA because it's well over $50,000. So those folks out there working overtime to destroy this network and the work that we have built, I caution you, I am urging you, I am going to say a prayer for you that you stop your idiocy, because they're going to come after you. This is going to be totally out of my hands. And that is the last word of caution and my last word on that subject. Let's go back to the phones here. Alan in Kansas. Hello, Alan.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Reverend Pike. These hate crimes, including hate speech, I presume, do you see this as something that someone having physically attacked someone could use as self-defense, saying that hate speech now being a crime, they've been attacked, therefore they had to physically attack as a matter of self-defense?
Oh, I'm not sure of that. That's a twist I hadn't heard of. You know, I've been, like a black person being called the N-word and then they hit back in response to that.
Yes,
I haven't heard of that scenario so much.
Well,
what the structure of hate crimes legislation here in the United States is that I'll just define a hate crime according to ADL and so on. It's when you have bias motivation, contempt for blacks, contempt for women, contempt for Jews, and that bias motivation leads you to do something which is against the law. So you have bias motivation on one hand and an actual violation of the law, such as an assault, on the other hand.
Well, I understand that is one way of looking at it and the way it's probably being presented and sold, but there is a doctrine of fighting words.
Uh-huh.
Which is used as a mitigating circumstance when one is, like, in a bar fight, and they say, well, that guy called my mother a pig face,
yes.
So I had to
yeah.
hit him.
Yeah,
okay,
but
I think maybe that hate speech could be used
uh-huh.
as a matter of self-defense, and not just mitigating, but completely get away from punishment.
Well, actually, our judge and jury system have a free rein to take in certain mitigating circumstances like that.
Uh-huh.
And make their judgments accordingly. And similarly, when they do find real hatred as a motivating factor behind a hate crime, they do have discretionary powers to increase the penalties. For example, down in Wyoming about 6 years ago, Matt Shepard, a young homosexual, was killed and impaled on a barbed wire fence. And Wyoming has never adopted, to my knowledge, a state hate law, an ADL hate, state hate law, and yet using English law, our traditional Anglo-Saxon law, they gave double life sentences to the two attackers, the murderers of Matt Shepard, and that just proves that the need for a federal anti-hate bureaucracy is completely redundant. We don't need that because our law is perfectly adequate, our judge and jury system, for all kinds of circumstances concerning alleged hate crimes.
Well, I thank you for your time. I'm just thinking that fighting words is not said to be a crime yet, but when hate speech is said to be a crime, it puts a whole new light on it.
That could very well be.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. You know, I was just thinking when you were talking about this, Reverend, it's... When a black calls another black affectionately, and supposedly they do this, one will call another a nigger.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, is that to be classified as self-deprecating humor, or are we going to have a list of words that if you utter it, you go to jail?
That's right. We used to have a youth ranch, and the black kids would call each other monkeys. And everybody laughed, including the black. You know, it's just a.
Howard Cosell didn't laugh when they canned him on Monday Night Football for making an observation about a guy that was running for a touchdown. He simply said, "Look at that little monkey run." He got fired over that one.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, I don't think Howard Cosell, because as a sports broadcaster. He basically made a career off of Muhammad Ali being
yeah.
supposedly in his corner. So, I mean, look what happened to that guy. Who were the interests behind that to fire him and make him such a big deal that they hired one of the best sportscasters ABC Monday Night Football ever had?
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating.
Well, we have to remember that the ADL lays down these rather... crisp criteria of what a hate crime is and so on. But when they really want to enforce their hate laws, like they did in Philadelphia several years ago against the Philly 11 Christians who were doing nothing more than preaching and singing a hymn during a huge gay pride rally in Philadelphia, the ADL will come down and they'll use any pretext they want to. These hate laws are designed to set up a bias-oriented bias motivation system parallel to our English law here in the United States, which ADL can come down and they can abuse royally. They can come down. They threw those 11 Christians in jail for 21 hours just for singing "Blessed Be the Name of the Lord" in a gay rights rally. And then it's incumbent on those Christians to defend themselves and go through the courts and all this kind of thing. And so let me give you just another example of how the ADL can enforce a state hate law rather harshly and That happened about 4 years ago in Idaho. There was a football game going on, a high school football game, and the referee was a large black man, about 6 foot two high, 240 pounds or whatever, a huge man. And a photographer for the local newspaper, Mrs. Ray, snapped his picture during a heated dispute in the middle of the game. And this referee was so angry, he stalked Mrs. Ray as she was going back to the stands, grabbed her from the back, tore her camera off her neck, and threw her to the ground, causing strap burns on her neck. And her husband, Lonnie Ray, saw the whole thing, and he rushed forward. He impulsively used the N-word against the black referee. He did not touch the referee, but he was indicted under ADL's Idaho hate law and was facing 5 years in prison just for using the N-word. The black referee, of course, was not indicted for anything.
And rather, Reverend, as looking at people that use verbiage like that, that they're not even worth the time to even respond to.
That's right. You know, and what was astonishing about that, I did have a talk with Ed Steele about that, who was the lawyer defending Lonnie Ray. He said that the newspapers of Idaho and all of the, basically the population of Idaho, thoroughly sided with ADL and the state hate law, that this man was worthy of spending 5 years out of his life in a federal penitentiary. The columns in the newspapers were all for indictment and a 5 year penalty for this man. And this is very frightening how the media has indoctrinated the people to be receptive to the most outrageous persecutions against Christians or even people who show some human weakness like Lonnie Ray did in a moment of stress.
Let's go back to the phones. Who do I have up next here? Melissa in Austin. Hello, Melissa.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Hi, Ted.
Hello, Ms. Les.
Back to the whole Old Testament and then into the Talmud and all that. The claim that these Zionists are using to fool the Christian masses in all these deadhead church pews is that these are God's chosen people. And when you look at the Old Testament, I think the verse that they start with on that is Genesis 12:3, where it's Abraham being told that he's going to be blessed. God will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, even in my Geneva Bible, which is a 1560 version, says that that's referring to the coming Messiah, to Jesus Christ, not to Abraham's family, but rather to the seed. And if the Bible or Torah believing Jews, you know, the first five books of the Old Testament, if they would look at just the upgraded version, you know, how we have to upgrade our computer software all the time, if they would get the upgrade called the New Testament and go to Galatians, I think it's, 3:16, it says that God said to Abraham, to thy seed, not seeds as of many, but thy seed as one, and that one is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So the whole thing comes down to rightly dividing the word of truth. And they have co-opted God's magnificent word and turned it into something that it never was. And now people are too stupid to go home and read their own Bible, and they believe what the John Hagees of the world are saying.
That's right. Well, the truth is that Abraham believed God. He trusted in God. He had faith, incredible faith in God, even to the point of being willing to kill his own son if necessary, because that's commanded him to do as part of a test. He believed God, he trusted God, and as a result of that, he came under God's blessing. And all of us come under God's blessing when we trust God like faithful Abraham. And so what the Pharisees and the Zionists and so on have done is they have twisted these verses to say that anyone who can claim any racial genetics going back to Abraham is automatically blessed, is automatically the apple of God's eye, and further, no person can criticize them without a terrible curse coming down upon them. And behind this cover, of course, they have leaped forward throughout, especially the 20th century, to take over government and media and finance and war-making in the Middle East, free from criticism, lest a curse should come upon anyone who dares speak a word against the God's chosen people.
Well, but from what I can see, God divorced them later on, and he won't be calling them back in until Messiah comes on the horse, wielding his sword of the Spirit at the Battle of Armageddon.
Well, that's true. And Romans 9 through 11, Paul is very specific that they are not all Israel who are Israel. There are the broken branches, the withered, dried, broken branches of Jewish unbelief, Pharisaic, rabbinic unbelief, who have been cast away, and they're meant to be burned at the destruction of God and in judgment. But they are not all Israel. The seed and the true branches, the true leaves of faith are those who trust in Jesus, whether they are Gentiles or are actual Jews. And I do believe that in the providence of Jesus Christ, he will have righteousness out of a remnant of Jews at his second coming. They will be terribly persecuted in the Great Tribulation. They will be terribly humiliated and brought down, and they will look upon him whom their fathers pierced when he comes, as you say, on a white horse in the clouds and wrath upon the nations to set up his thousand-year millennial reign on earth. But meanwhile, with all of that grand overview, the fact is we are dealing with a very, very deeply apostate and revengeful group of people here who are claiming these promises of Abraham and claiming the messianic promises of Isaiah very falsely. For example, David Ben-Gurion, in a famous article in Look magazine, I believe it was 1967, he said, the prophecies of Isaiah will be fulfilled, when Jerusalem will be the international hub, the international tribunal of the nations in the coming years. He believed that the scripture would be fulfilled by Zionist Antichrist Jews. And, of course, this is all a great perversion and a theft of a very sublime and wonderful promises of restoration to the Jewish people.
And what is going on right now, Reverend? Is that not taking place right now?
You mean this counterfeit occupation of Palestine?
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. The whole thing is a fraud.
Yes.
God will bring the Jews back to his holy land,
right.
And it is a holy land. But he'll do it under his terms of obedience. And what Notary Carta and what they object to, as well as I object to, is the fact that fleshly, evil, presumptuous, antichrist, communist Jews came down into Palestine during the last century. They pushed outside the Arabs out of the land. They pushed the Christian Arabs out. A million of them almost were pushed out into the desert. They said, move over, we're God's chosen people. We have the right to this land because it was promised to us by Abraham. This is a massive counterfeit of
right.
God's true plan for a reoccupation of Israel.
Melissa, thank you for your call.
Just real quick, one last thing.
You got to move quick because
okay.
I got 15 things I got to do before the
okay.
end of the program.
Just that in this period of time, God in Timothy, I can't remember exactly, but it's either 1 or 2 Timothy 2:3, he says that God would have all men come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. And during this period of time, that's what, you know, even the Jews, everyone is supposed to come to Christ. And then they don't have to deal so much with all that's coming where they go through all that hell that's going to come on this earth. And, you know, I would reach out to anyone and everyone. Pretty hard to get past the Talmud and the Kabbalah when they're
yeah.
so full of themselves.
But Melissa, but let me interject here, because I'm going to tell you what. You're not going to convince all people on the earth that they've got to follow the Christian ways and that they've got to come through Jesus Christ to get to heaven. That is not going to happen.
No, it's my job to offer.
I understand that. But my I understand.
I know.
And I'll say this, that I've always said this on this program. People are going to choose a myriad of different ways on how they're going to get to hell on the fast sleigh ride. I mean, they're going to do that.
And some are going quicker than others, aren't they, John?
Well, yeah, they sure are. Melissa, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Marcus, open up your microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marcus, my producer here, is the fellow I referred to earlier, Reverend. And we were talking about this during a break, that there wasn't a problem in the Middle East until the wonderful state of Israel came about. And
well, basically, let me just say something really quick. First off, I don't want anybody who does not believe in the Jewish religion to take it that we don't like Jesus, we can't stand him, he's evil. That's not the way it is. We believe that Jesus is God's son. That's it. That's it. We don't hate Jesus. We don't have any negative feeling toward Jesus. And I think a lot of people have that in their mind and that mainstay that because we're Jewish, we don't like Jesus. That's not true. I mean, for goodness sakes, Jesus was Jewish. And it's like I can't let any other Jewish person out there specifically say that we're against the Christianity or any other religion. We lived in Muslim, basically Islamic countries for thousands of years, and we never had a problem with any single Muslim, Buddhist, anybody that did not believe in the Jewish ways. We never had a problem with them. Why? Because we had a peaceful coincide. We understood that you believe in this, we believe in this. There's no need to
our
argue.
Respect.
Right. We had a mutual. It's respect for each other. And for some reason, somebody got a wild hair up there behind and said, hey, I got an idea. Since Palestine isn't very powerful, let's go over there since we've got everyone backing us because we went through the Holocaust. Let's go over there and let's take over Israel. We'll say it's ours, and what the Palestinians are going to do, we'll blow them up if they argue with us. And that's the reason why it's happened. And there's no reason for us to be having this fighting and killing innocent women and children. I mean, this is nuts. It's crazy. I don't understand why we've gone through that.
Reverend, question. Was Jesus Jewish?
Yes, he certainly was. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was descended from Mary, who was of the genetic line of Judah.
So how can people say that, and I've heard this repeatedly, Jesus wasn't a Jew?
Well, that's part of the Christian identity perspective. They believe that in the period in which Herod took over Jewish affairs just before Jesus came on the scene, that Herod and Edomite brought in a massive infusion of Edomite, a Gentile. Well, they're actually not Gentiles. They're descendants of Esau, but bringing Edomite blood into Palestine and basically displacing the blood of the original Judeans, descendants of Judah, that had come back from Babylon under Ezra and Nehemiah 400 years earlier. They believe that there was a transference of Gentile blood in there, and they believe that these people are properly called Jews. And they are seed of Satan. They're seed of Esau. They're evil people. And they say that Jesus, who was from the north in Galilee, was not a part of the so-called Jews under Herod's administration. Therefore, Jesus was not a Jew. Jesus was a Galilean or a true descendant of the tribe of Judah. I believe they call them Judahites. It's kind of complicated, but it doesn't make any sense in my opinion. I don't believe that Herod and his Edomite genetic stock ever really significantly displaced the genetic character of Judah, of ancient tribe of Judah in Palestine at that time.
And I had an experience one time at one of the meetings on the beach. And for those out there that know my history, you know exactly what I just said. And I found myself literally in a kitchen full of Christian identity people, and I'm sitting there and I'm cleaning my 45. Yeah, I just went out target practicing, and they're working on me hard. They're working on me big time. And intrinsically, I knew what they were saying was wrong, because what I saw was a virulent hate of all Jews, and I knew intrinsically that was wrong. And I had told them, and they had been working on me for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So here they're all gathered in one place, and I put the empty clip, by the way, back into my 45. I just cleaned it. And I said, the next person that tells me I need to convert to this, I'm going to shoot him. Well, they kind of like wiggled a little bit and kind of nervously smiled, and after that, they left me alone. Anyhow, Judy in New York. Hello, Judy. Judy, you there?
Oh, gosh, so much to say in so little time.
I understand.
Always. I'm really glad you're having this show, and I'm saddened and I'm confused because I was born of Jewish parents, but I converted to Christianity in 1991. Mm-hmm. I don't see Judaism as a race, and the guy Phil that called before and talked about the white race, I don't see this as a race because otherwise I couldn't convert, and I had a conversion experience. But obviously I still have friends and family who are Jewish.
Sure.
My father was Orthodox, and when he was growing up, but he married my mother, who was considered at that point a Zionist. But I think what Zionist meant then was just somebody who was in favor of the Jewish homeland. I don't know if my mother were alive today, if she would be very happy with what's going on in the Jewish homeland, or the quote Jewish homeland. And my father, I know he read the Talmud, but we never saw it. And my sister and I both married out of the religion. We never had any objection. We never heard that G word. And until I became an internet nut, I had never even seen the racist parts of the Talmud. So I started questioning a lot of people. My sons were never bar mitzvahed, even though I was converted in 1991. I just didn't follow. I just really had no identification with Judaism because I was really, it was really a secular household.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask people and about this, these parts of the Talmud, and the Reformed or secular Jews didn't know what I was talking about, and these are people who had been bar mitzvahed, and they never heard anything like that. Some people said, oh, it's a book of peace. I know that Rabbi David Weiss said that in a DVD that I've seen. And my Jewish friends have children who have married non-Jewish people, and there doesn't seem to be a problem. But when I was asking people, I found out that there's more than one Talmud. There's the Babylonian and there's Jerusalem, and they're massive works. So I was wondering, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of, I mean, that man Phil that called before, maybe he made it sound like, well, there's two groups of Jews, but from what I can see, there's a vast group of disparate people who don't have very much in common except that they came out of Jewish parents. And,
yeah.
You know, in terms of a philosophy, it does not seem to be unified at all. And then I also, I'll just throw this in quickly. Also, we talked about the Sabbateans, the Sabbatai Zvi. This man, from what I understand, he and Isaac Ben Solomon Luria, they turned everything upside down. They made everything into evil. And Jacob Frank was one of them.
Yes.
And a lot of the people now, in my humble opinion, who are the leaders, are just like the Pharisees of old. They are,
yes,
leading their flock on the path to hell. And and many of the Jews are being duped because they're so afraid of the Holocaust around every corner or whatever they've been indoctrinated with, that they're following these leaders blindly, who I think will sacrifice them in a second like they did in World War II.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Judy, you see, we have a continuing problem of evil Jewish leadership. If you go back to the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you find Ezekiel digging through the whited wall, you know, and he sees an interior full of abominations as these evil Jewish leaders are leading the flock astray. And that's happening, the same thing is happening today. That's why I speak out against evil Jewish leaders of B'nai B'rith primarily, but it's not against the flock of Israel, who out of them, I believe, Jesus will obtain a pure remnant in the last time.
We're running out of time. Judy, I wish you would have called in earlier. Very good observations and very good questions. Reverend, the anti-hate crime laws, what's your website? What do they need to do? 30 seconds.
Yes, people need to come to www.truthtellers.org. That's truthtellers.org. We have all the ammunition there you need to keep defeating the federal hate bill in Congress.
Reverend, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with another program, the National Intel Report, tomorrow. Join us then.